Beyond Comics. Being Easter and all, have I told you guys the time I told a Jesus joke to a priest? Yeah, I totally nailed it.
Oh, wow.
Came up with that one the other night at church.
Wow.
Going to hell.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, welcome, everybody, to our R-rated offensive podcast.
Yeah, some people don't like us. Fuck them.
Yeah. Fuck them and their fucking goat asses, I believe is the old Adam Sandler quote.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, fuck them up the stinking goat asses. That's what it was. So, welcome to Drunk on Comics.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hey, it's Kevin over there.
Hi, everybody.
Over there, because you can see
I'm in the other room doing a remote podcast with you.
My name's Derek. Tony is the miscreant with the sacrilegious jokes.
Yep.
And today we have Freak Show Jim.
Hi, Mom.
Otherwise known as Jim the Intern or Sidecar Jim, which he wanted, which I don't get. And then we said Sideshow, and now you're just Freak Show Jim.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I think that's
we're gonna give
upgrade.
You a new name every week.
Yeah. So, well, we might as well get things kicked off here with Off the Shelf. Off the Shelf is once again brought to you by Motor City Comic Con, happening May 17th through the 19th in Novi, Michigan, at the Suburban Collection Showplace.
Why do you struggle with that every week?
Because every week I just want to say it's the Showcase Showdown. So, but yeah, so we're going to get kicked off here.
Yes, and we are going to give you a little warning, spoiler alert.
Yeah, we are going to talk about comics. And
we're going to talk about...
That's spoiler!
That's the spoiler! Everything.
We're reviewing comics today. Yeah. People are getting angry at the podcast right now. What the hell?
I didn't know you were going to talk comics!
Yeah, I'm like, I hate you, Fox.
But we may give some stuff away.
Yeah, so we're going to spoil it. And with Matt not being here, I figured I'd fill in for him and say... We're going to spoil it like some hipster Trustafarian kid spoiled PBR, American Spirit cigarettes, and facial hair for anybody who just wants to enjoy them and not be ironic.
Don't talk about Jim that way.
No, he's too cheap to buy American Spirit cigarettes. Yeah. So, all right, who wants to kick it off? Tony?
Oh,
yes, Tony does.
Okay. Doing something a little bit different, I'm going to talk about three comics briefly that all tie into each other, all of them spanning from Age of Ultron. I got Fantastic Four number 5, written by Matt Fraction.
But it's number 5 AU.
Yes.
Which, because I know Superior is 6 AU, and so I think they're going to have a regular 6.
Okay.
Jim, why are you shaking your head?
And they're going to have a regular 5.
It's hard enough with numbers, and then they're throwing letters in now, and...
Read good well. But quick go over who wrote all these things. Artist Andre Arujo and colorist Jose Villarubio.
On which one?
For the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
Superior Spider-Man, written by Christos Gage. Artist Dexter Soy.
I fucking love Dexter Soy's
work. Yeah, really, really good. And obviously, as I said, this isn't written by Dan Slott, so there is some differences when I go over it. And then ultimately, Age of Ultron number 3, written by Brian Michael Bendis, pencils Brian Hitch, inker Paul Neary, and colors Paul Mounts. So, talking about all of these...
Keep talking, Tony.
Yeah,
that's how it works. Talking about all of these...
But they got numbers and letters. I can't read.
I can't say words anymore.
The reason why I'm going to talk about all of them is because...
Because they're all tied together?
No, not at all. This is how you do tie-ins to an overall crossover. These books were by themselves separate stories that enhanced the overall story. It wasn't a rehashing of fighting who, fighting this, like the whole AVX thing. A lot of those books didn't tell something different. You could have read the main storyline and got it. This, it enhanced it, but it was separate as well. Starting off with Superior Spider-Man, I know you read that one.
I did, yeah.
And I thought it was just great. Now, like I said, you could tell that it wasn't written by Dan Slott because it didn't have some of the other nuances that the Superior Spider-Man has been going on. But you could still tell it was Doc Ock. I mean, he was being a dick. He wanted to go save the world himself. He actually wanted to take over the world and use his spider bots to take over the Ultron characters. And you can tell that Stegman didn't draw it because he didn't draw Ghost Peter behind him. I was kind of upset saying that.
Well, and I gotta say, I've been so happy to see, I've been waiting for this book because Dexter Soy, you guys know I loved when he was doing Captain Marvel. I'm just happy to see him doing something else. And that was, even if I wasn't reading this book, I would have picked it up just for the art.
Oh, yeah, the art was great. And it's just, the whole series is really gritty and,
it's kind of a little depressing.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I will say about this book, which I told you about before, this definitely reminded me of when I was a kid. I think I was in early high school when the Inferno series, was happening in X-Men. It was crossing over. The only book I was reading at that time was Daredevil, and so there were like three issues of Inferno where it crossed over into Daredevil, and that's what this seemed like to me. It was really cool. It was enough to make me go, man, I really wonder what's going on in that other book. You don't have to be reading the main story to still enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Fantastic Four was a lot. I mean, let's just talk about Age of Ultron. We'll go into that book next because.
Yeah, because I don't have a fucking clue what's going on.
And neither do I.
Oh, good.
What? You guys haven't been reading the other two?
I don't know where this. I want to know time wise. And where this takes place. Does this take place in Marvel 616, the main universe?
Does it take place in the future? Now?
Is it now?
Is it Marvel now?
Yeah, that's what I thought. This was a whole separate thing. And because it doesn't say on the cover of these Age of Ultron, Marvel now. But then you have these Fantastic Four, Spider-Man issues, and they say Marvel now on them. So I'm like, I'm not put off by that, but it's just kind of like, where are you going with this?
I want to know where this all sets in for the overall story of the other stories going on. When does this all come about? Is it set in the future? Okay. Then it might be stopped somehow in time travel. I have no fucking clue. With the Fantastic Four, it makes even more sense that they could be there. They're off.
Makes more little sense?
No, it makes more sense, but doesn't really.
They're having their National Lampoon's space vacation.
Yeah.
Is that like the Great Space Coaster?
Yeah. Jesus,
no. With Fantastic Four, they obviously have the deus ex machina of being able to time travel and everything. So they are able to automatically fly to this world, this place. But they say they're going back home because they need help. So obviously this is going on in the main Marvel U somehow. This has to be going on in the now time for them to go back and find out that this shit's been going on.
Well, what I was asking you yesterday was, I don't understand how this is current because it's not tying into like everything in the Marvel universe. And so it's like, I don't understand. I'm lost, but I'm not reading Age of Ultron.
And see, that's the thing. If it somehow ties it in, if it has some, I'll be happy with, like, I'm loving the story. Hands down, it's been a great read. The tie-ins have been great. I just want to know, are you just going to say this was a what-if, this was a separate world, what-if Age of Ultron happened? Or are you going to say this somehow truly happened, at the end it gets overwritten by someone time-traveling? I don't know how that's going to work out, because obviously I'm not...
Are you afraid that someone's going to wake up from a dream?
And... I fucking hate those stories. I fucking hate them so much.
The ending is just going to be the Watcher... Double birds.
I fucking hate the Watcher. That guy's such a dick.
Ultimately, to quick wrap up, Fantastic Four, the main Fantastic Four leave Franklin and Val in space in the future where they're at, and they take off, kind of doing a living will, saying goodbye to them. And, well, shit gets real, and they pretty much blow up and die.
Sweet.
Dude.
So, I don't know how they're coming back from that.
Okay, let me ask you one question. For our listeners, if they're only going to buy one of those, which one should they buy?
Well, obviously, pick up the main series book. They're going to get what's going on.
Dude.
I mean, out of these, all these, I think Superior Spider-Man was a great
read. I think, for myself, man, I thought Fantastic Four was completely, I don't want to say mind-blowing, but it was a great story. I felt real emotion. I felt bad for the children. I took an advice from someone that I read a tweet about of read it in the dark.
Oh.
And I did. I had my little headlamp on.
Were you under the covers? Because that would have been
no. Actually, I was reading it in my hot tub.
Oh, God, the way you guys handle your fucking books just amazes me sometimes.
I didn't submerge the comic. I wonder what will happen if I take this comic book and put it in the water.
Well,
but honestly, you gotta pick that issue up. It's powerful.
Well, okay, I'm glad you read it because I liked it. Yeah.
Tony, did you have anything else that you wanted to say?
Oh yeah, last thing. Big spoiler alert, Vision is somehow hooked up into everything, and that also is a what-the-fuck moment. That's not Ultron controlling these things, maybe?
Oh.
So...
what the hell's going on with that?
Can anyone give me, like, a two-sentence Vision? Who?
Vision?
I know. I know about Vision because of the old arcade game Captain America and the Avengers.
Two words, Ultron's son.
Really?
Yeah. Ultron made Vision... as like his part of him,
he
got his own sentience that then he became a superhero.
Oh, so he Avenger. So he got rid of that ridiculous part of the program saying that
kill all, terminate.
Yeah, exterminate, annihilate. I don't.
All right, Kevin. What else did you read in your hot tub?
All right, okay, so everyone get in their Wayback Machine, because I'm taking you back all the way back to last week.
Nice.
Yes, where I picked up, which I thought was new this week, from Dark Horse, Sledgehammer 44.
But by the way, Jim, you can occasionally interject something. You just don't have to do your little happy dance because nobody at home can see you.
I know. I don't want them to see me. I'm so glad this isn't a video podcast.
We really don't want people to see you either. We want them to come back.
Yeah, I'm so focused in my comics. What's this dance you're doing? Are you?
I'm just excited. Sledgehammer 44. That's a damn good book right there.
Oh my gosh! Someone read it. Hooray! okay, so. Story by Mike Mignola.
What, Jim?
Mignola.
Yeah, there you go.
John Arcadia. Arcada.
Arcudi?
Arcudi?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, that guy. art by Jason Latour. Colors, Dave Stewart. All right, that one, Dave Stewart. That was easy. Okay, so.
I think it's Stewart. Anyway, I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right, okay, so there's four reasons why I picked this book up, and should be no one surprised at this table, I picked it up exclusively because of the cover. Okay, so here's the four reasons. Okay, number one, this is an issue number one. What was intriguing is that it says it's one of two.
I'm curious, why does it say 44 then?
it's Sledgehammer 44.
I'll get you to my theory on that. So
I'm sure it has nothing to do with the year 1944.
Okay,
absolutely not.
Okay, so I saw the title number two. I saw the title Sledgehammer. So being a product of the 80s and the 90s, the name actually strikes a chord with me for two reasons.
Sledgehammer.
Yeah. Oh my God. My name. So Peter Gabriel.
Yeah.
For those who think we're all just retarded and just singing the word Sledgehammer.
Well, no, that's pretty much the way it is. We are just retarded and singing.
So if you have never heard that song, Peter Gabriel, Sledgehammer,
Google it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah. It's actually that was an award winning video back in the day.
It was all stop motion animation and shit.
But it also with the name, it's a tie in to a short run television series of a short name that appeared on ABC for one season. Do you guys remember that TV show?
Was it Mike Hammer?
No, it was called Sledgehammer.
Oh no.
And I think the character's name was Mike Hammer.
Was that the show with Stacey Keach?
I don't know. I'm sure there's some sort of hot, attractive woman on that show.
Well, no, Stacey Keach is a dude. Then he later became the dad on Titus after he got out of prison for doing coke.
So there was a show called Sledgehammer. And that was awesome. I'm sure you'll never be able to find that. Okay. Number three of the four-prong attack of why I picked this book up looked like there's a giant robot on the front. And number four, Nazis. Okay,
so, I have Nazis.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you have it. That's my Kevin four pack for picking up a comic book. So okay, Sledgehammer 44 takes place in Germany during World War II. I'm presuming it's in 1944, hence the title Sledgehammer 44. The short of the story is that the U.S. government's come up with a kick-ass piece of machinery or armor to kick some German resistance.
So it's kind of like Iron Man?
Maybe. I say...
Are you keeping me in suspense?
No, well, I say machinery or armor because it's not really known to the American ground troops what this new military issue is.
Are they Transformers?
So, you know what? Issue 2 might explain that. I don't know. It's a lot, there's a lot of dangling participles hanging around in this. So... plenty of actions, big explosives, dead Nazis. I mean, it all delivers.
Enough said.
The art is really swell, a great look to it. It has this World War II-esque feeling to it. I don't know exactly what that means.
Is it because it's happened in World War II?
Yeah, exactly. But no, you can draw it more modern style, with chibi characters, whatnot, but I think that really captures the essence of World War II. My only gripe is that there were so many pages of action. The book was a very quick read. Because it's a short read, and this is spoiler-free for everyone. So this is the anti-Age of Ultron review with no spoilers. So this is a very enthusiastic pickup. I'm very happy I went to a different comic book shop this week.
On the Kevin grading scale?
Yeah. I took that one from that Kool-Aid guy.
So, Freak Show, you look like you got a book over there that you're perusing. What you got?
Yeah, I picked up Angel and Faith, or as this cover says, Buffy's Friends, Angel and Faith. Good throwback to an Archie style.
Issue 20. As in throwback, like, you know, this week's Archie, because they still...
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, we get, like, on the cover, it's, like, Spike and Angel, and they're kind of pulling, like, the Betty and Veronica on Faith. And it's just so good.
So give us a quick rundown.
All right, so this is the closest we'll get in this 25-issue run of a softball issue. I'll tell you. First, it was written by Christos Gage. It's been knocking it out of the park this whole run. Same with Rebecca Isaacs. Dan Jackson's been coloring it, and we got two letters, Richard Starkings and Jimmy Betancourt.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was saying it's basically the closest we'll get to a softball issue. Like, the last issue kind of wrapped up all the action for this arc. They have a villain they have to take down in this one, but they take care of that like halfway through the issue. And we get Spike, who's had a soul for a while now, getting really frustrated about how he's kind of getting friend zoned, and he's the nice guy now, but he doesn't want to be the nice guy. And seeing that from Spike is just hilarious.
By the way, we're all interested, but so you know, like, we're all looking at you with blank stares because none of us read.
Well, there's somebody. There's somebody on the other side of that microphone.
I'm saying the three of us. Three of us sitting at the table.
All right, round table. Who watched Buffy?
The movie.
I saw the movie in the theater.
Yep.
With Paul Rubens.
Yeah, I own that movie. I love it.
That wasn't memorable.
Sure was. I watched a couple episodes, but.
I watched a couple episodes of the show and said it's not the movie. I know that, like, I'm the anti Buffy fan because I like the movie.
I love the movie.
The show actually great later on. I tried to get into it the first season.
I mean, I heard it was kind of flopped. Didn't our buddy Joss do that? And
Yeah,
it was one of his non-successful TV shows. All his other ones went on for long
seasons.
Well,
you know, it's funny because I was talking to him the other day. Anyway, I'm sorry, Jim. Continue. Give us a quick wrap-up on what you got there.
It was really nice to see an issue where they let these characters breathe for a second. And, you know, it's been nonstop action for 20 issues.
Hold them up with a bag on their head. Like, just breathe.
Yeah. It was a really nice issue. One of the strongest of the run so far.
So for somebody like me, Kevin, Tony, who've never read any of this, haven't watched any of the shows, is this an okay jumping on point?
Absolutely not. You gotta watch 144 episodes of Buffy, over 100 episodes of Angel, all of season 8 in the comics, and then you can jump into this.
Okay, so I'll be ignoring that. So sweet. All right, this week
are you gonna review something from Dark Horse now?
I'm actually going to review something from Image.
Oh, I see. Because Jim and I were Dark Horse buddies this week.
Yeah, well. Tony, what the
I want to retract that statement.
Alright, I got East of West number 1 from Image Comics, written by Jonathan Hickman, art by Nick Dragata, and colors by Frank Martin. This is basically a post-apocalyptic futuristic Western mixed with a little supernatural goodness. And
I like the cover. I was thinking about giving it a nod for that
Best on Tap?
Whatever segment we were calling it these days.
We've been calling it the same thing. Anyway.
No, we haven't.
Tony is an a-hole. So the book opens with three kids who are literally being born out of the earth. And, you know, these three kids are wondering where he is because he should be here. And right off the bat, you find out that the kids plan on killing whoever this mysterious other person is. And so you find out later that these kids have been born and reborn multiple times. They don't really enjoy their renewal, although at least one, because they have to grow into adults again. But at least one of them finds a bit of enjoyment in that moment when somebody realizes they're about to get stabbed by a 6-year-old. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting. You're also introduced to a white man. And by white, I mean like paper white. Like his suit, his wide-brim hat, along with his skin, it's, you know, it is white. He's got two Native American companions with him. The one companion is very large, and he appears to be painted white as well. And he's called the Wolf, or just Wolf. The female companion is painted black with white hair, and she is called Crow. The depiction of her character is just fucking awesome. I love the look of that. Now,
I like the whole look of everything in it. Oh, it's like beautifully done.
Yeah, Dragota's art is breathtaking.
Yeah, it's fucking phenomenal. Now these three people, this little trio, they're about as dangerous as they come. Like, they wipe out an entire saloon full of people and basically a matter of minutes or seconds. Turns out the white man, who remains nameless at this point, is searching for somebody. And the turning point in this book is the next to the last page, when you find out, as Hickman reveals to us, that this gunslinger guy, the white man, is Death. And leads you to believe, basically, that the other three kids that we met at the beginning of the book are the remaining three horsemen of the apocalypse. And so, really, really cool turn. There's like the horses that are in here are these mechanical, headless horse things. Like, they don't have heads, not like
that. Yeah, that's what I was looking at. It was like the horses, they're kind of funny, but not kind of cool, futuristic. Like.
Yeah.
Wait, there's headless horses in that. Yeah. Because just the other week in Manhattan Projects, we got a headless horse in that too from
Well, these are headless mechanical horses.
Okay, this is a living one.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
there's a clear difference here. And
well, maybe Hickman didn't really have a whole lot to go for, so that's he's like, oh, I use that in this book, but you know, I know Derek quit reading Manhattan Projects, so he'll still like it in this one. But this is definitely a run out and buy it right now book. Besides the fact that it's an awesome story with killer art, this book is going to be hard to find. It's sold out of its first printing. It's already scheduled for a second printing. Damn. And at the time of recording, this book is already selling on eBay for $10.
God damn.
And it's a couple days old. So from a collecting standpoint, as well as quality of storytelling, I think this might be the equivalent of Saga for 2013. I do have to give a huge, huge shout out to one of the employees at my comic book shop, Josh, for suggesting this book. And, you know, I got to tell you, I would have walked right by it if he wouldn't have said something. So thank you. I owe you a beer on this one. This book is totally on my wheelhouse. Two mugs up. Go buy it if you can find it. So, Tony, yeah. Should we do a little news?
Maybe? Yeah, we can do a little news.
All right. Kevin, you got some news, don't you?
I do.
It's news to him.
Thanks for the news flash. So I'm flipping around through one of the sites that I normally read, The Motley Fool.
Okay.
You guys into investing and personal finance at all?
I have all my money tied up in comic books. That's a safe investment.
Well, you know what? I was actually doing pretty good until you dragged me into this damn podcast. So that's what that's my future now. It's comic books. Anyway, so according to the Motley Fool, they're predicting that Star Wars is going to be the next $2 billion man movie.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, when I read it first, I thought they meant it was going to cost $2 billion.
I don't know anyone that would sign off on that. That's...
Dude... Hey, I would sign up on a $2 billion movie if it was...
If it was going to make $3 billion? Why not? No, I'd be okay with $1 billion extra dollars.
I'd be okay with that if it was like a 10-hour movie.
Well,
That'd be cool. But, no, but $2 billion, and of course the only $2 billion movies are...
Titanic and Avatar.
Avatar, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the only way that they're going to make this $2 billion movie is if they... boot J.J. Abrams and get James Cameron to come direct it. Because he's the only one that can do it so far.
Nah, it's going to happen.
Avengers made $1.5 billion, so it was close.
Yeah, it's going to happen with inflation and, D-Box is coming to more and more theaters. We just got D-Box in a lot of our theaters here.
What the fuck is D-Box? They're
so lame. No. Basically, it's a special seat you buy at the theater, and it just has a big ass speaker in it.
Oh,
so it feels like it's kicking your ass.
Oh,
you know, you feel the movie.
So that's the seat you buy for your girlfriend.
Yes, that's a great idea. I see. Honestly, that would be the only way I can get her to go see Avengers 2. Or Spider-Man 2, or
Wait,
Thor 2.
She's not coming with us.
She's not now because she saw all those movies. Not Spider-Man 2 or Thor 2. She saw all the first ones. She didn't like any of them.
Dude, I think it's about time that you got rid of her, man. Just because of that one.
She likes Spider-Man 2 and X-Men 2, but, man...
it's just so red. X-Men 2. Spider-Man 2 and X-Men 2.
All right.
This just in, Star Wars is going to make a lot of money. The end.
That is news. This one came out a little earlier this week. Speaking of movies, Robert Redford is supposed to be appearing in the new Captain America Winter Soldier movie.
So, at first, I thought he was dead. But then I realized, I'm thinking of Paul Newman. And then when I realized that, then I'm like, well...
And then you're and they're like, no, I'm thinking of Michael Clark Duncan.
Well, then I'm like, what the hell has he been in recently? Anything?
Nothing. No. Like, he directs a little bit, but mostly he does the Sundance stuff. The Sundance Film Festival. Oh. And, you know, that was one of the things in the article that I read that, you know, he talks about how he still would like to be a working actor, but... Sundance takes up so much of his time because he feels it is important and necessary to go out there and do personal thank yous and whatnot to the people that are investing and sponsoring and supporting mm-hmm. Sundance, that he spends most of his time doing that. But they don't really say what he's going to be doing in it, but I think it is kind of cool to see him him in there. I hope he's like some hard ass like colonel, you know, or something like that in there. But maybe he'll have an eye patch.
Eye patches all around.
Tony, you got anything for news?
Well, last week we talked about Alan Richardson playing Raphael. They just came out with the other three turtles. Who's going to be playing them in the Taint movie that's coming out?
Yeah. Teenage alien invading Ninja Turtles.
We got Pete Plozek, who's in Parks and Recreation. He's going to play Leonardo. Jeremy Howard.
Wait, which character is that? Who? From Parks and Rec?
I'm not sure who he plays in that.
What's the name again?
Pete Plozek.
I don't know. I'm a big Parks and Rec fan.
Okay.
So
obviously, because you know who he is.
Yeah, but fuck, dude. I'm artists, actors. I don't know who half of these people are. You're like,
I'm surprised you remember our names sometimes.
Yeah. Brad who? Brad Pitt? What?
We got Jeremy Howard. He, I guess, played on Galaxy Quest and Breaking Bad. Is going to be Donatello. And Noel Fisher, he was in Battle Los Angeles, going to be Michelangelo. I have to say, some of these are like not huge names, but I'm totally okay with that. You don't need to have huge name actors. You just need to have good voices. So if they have the voice to play the Turtles, go for it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's what's kind of annoying me about the voice acting business for a lot of animated movies.
Is that they want all these huge name actors to do it.
Yeah, and actually, in some cases, it takes me out.
Yeah.
Of it. Like, I watched Wreck-It Ralph, and I'm just thinking of Sarah...
Silverman?
Yeah.
Good job, you got half the name.
Yeah, and then that one guy from Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Well, who's our buddy that you had me listen to him last week that wants to get into voice acting?
Oh, Nick Francis.
Yeah,
artist.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah. He sent me like a couple little clips of him just doing some random Transformers voices. I was like, is that you?
Sweet.
But
speaking
of voice acting, though, Stan Lee is coming back to The Simpsons.
Good segue.
Yeah, you like that? I try.
That's cool.
But
you guys watching The Simpsons these days?
I still do. I still like that show.
Yeah, I normally watch it.
Yeah, it's been coming back for me the last couple of seasons. There was a period like between season 12 and 15, 16. I just didn't really give a shit. Because the writing was not very good,
dude. You were a huge Simpsons fan.
Oh
too.
My gosh, seasons 1 through 9. Oh, I tell you everything about it. I watched all the DVDs, commentaries. Oh yeah, huge. And but then it just trailed off. I where it jumped a shark for me was that episode where they went to Brazil.
No,
crickets. Okay, yeah. <they're... laughs> Hello? This sounds like a phone call.
Moshi.
Oh, okay, well, but Stan Lee, he's coming back.
Yeah, so that's cool. Well, maybe when we see him in May at Motor City, we can chat with him about it then.
Oh, yeah.
got some DC news. Couple things. There's going to be an Infinite Crisis game from Turbine. Is the name of the company that's developing it, and they're calling it a multiplayer online battle arena. It's not an MMO, it's a MOBA.
MOBA?
They are milking Infinite so much.
They're infinitely milking the Crisis?
I mean, it was a great story arc, and at the time it was like really fresh and everything, but fuck, how many Crises have they had in...
I don't know, because I don't read DC normally. Oh. So
I've actually read a bunch of those ones. They were good stories, but they were... they're old. Make something new.
Okay, well, speaking of making something new out of something old, DC is going to be publishing a 1960s Batman TV show comic. So, you like that segue?
I
think this announcement of the 60s TV show making a comic book run now goes to show who their main demo is.
Yeah.
Because honestly, who in their teens or early 20s is going to be interested in picking this up?
Well, Of course you are, Jim. But that's but you like drawing the old school Batman too,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
So now, like the one thing that like they're talking in here is that there's going to be a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive toy of Batman doing the Batusie, which you know
I didn't ever understand that that was the name of the dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. Probably the coolest thing I saw for DC News this week. Tony, did you see it about the villains?
Oh yeah, I actually saw it on a couple different websites. They're going to make a documentary exploring the villains of DC, and I find that just refreshing, great. I mean, to see their side of the, you know, VH1 behind the villains, behind the mask.
Dude, I need to know more about Hate Monger. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
DC enemy villain.
The one cool thing that I thought that they had in this, though, is that the narrator of this is going to be Christopher Lee. you like that, Jim?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
good. You're just, ha. Tony, tell me about a movie coming out.
A movie coming out or a movie that they're going to be making that's coming out?
A movie that they're going to be making that's coming out.
Garfield 3?
Oh, with Jennifer Love Hewitt? I hope so. I'll go see it. She's in it.
Dude, I was joking.
Kevin's making up fake news. All our listeners are like, holy shit, Garfield 3, all right.
No, I think all of our listeners are going, what the fuck are they talking about Garfield 3 for?
No, Marvel is planning on making a Micronauts movie. For myself, I enjoyed the Micronauts, but the movie's going to... Pretty much they've said this is not going to really be anything like what you've read in the comics.
Yeah, it's not going to follow it at all.
Yeah, and you know what, to be honest, it would be hard to explain a lot of that shit with the Microverse, with, you know, other inverses and universes and all that stuff, and I think if they just get the concept down to... Some main characters, maybe have them not doing all their espionage and adventures and all that cool stuff. I think it could make for a good movie.
Like the way that I looked at it when they said, it's not going to stick the comic book at all, I'm like, oh, you mean like every X-Men film? It's fine. Kevin?
Pick me. Okay. What's Micronauts?
Micronauts, let's see. There was a little explanation here. Marvel's Micronauts, originally written by Bill Mantlo. Anyway, it's it was based on, loosely based on this thing called Microman, which was a Japanese toy line imported by Mego.
Okay.
And that's about it. You know, it's they're kind of like little samurai robot guys. About the best I can say.
So it's based upon a person version of Micro Machines?
Like I said, it takes place in the Microverse. So that's the place where they've sent Hulk multiple times. It's where they've, the Omniforce or the Captain Universe comes from. It's something that I was talking about when we were reviewing the Scarlet Spider Carnage crossover, Venom crossover, where they went to. That's kind of mainly where they take place.
So did they, like, when Hulk went there, did they shrink him down and then bring him there?
Yeah, pretty much it's one of those things, if Pym shrinks himself enough to the subatomic level, you cross boundaries into the Microverse. It's physics. Just
I don't think it is, but okay. I got one last thing, and I'm kind of curious as to your guys' take on this.
Sell.
What?
Sell.
Buy.
I don't.
Okay.
I was thinking about the Motley.
Wait, drink. All right, so Marvel is going to release a Once Upon a Time comic book tie-in. Whether it's they're saying graphic novel in the article that I read, but graphic novel is too loosely used, and I don't know if they mean a true graphic novel where it's going to be nice and thick and chunky, like 100 pages, or if they mean graphic novel because they don't want to say comic book.
So,
well, are they taking the same route that they did with Castle and Dexter, I think, was the other one that Marvel's put out?
Did Dexter ever come out?
I think it has, yeah.
Wait, so
I thought it got pushed back.
So this is based on the
Once Upon a Time TV show.
ABC television yeah. show.
Owned okay. by Disney.
Yeah.
DC or Disney owns ABC, Disney owns Marvel. So they're going, boop, let's make one together. My question is, is this the kiss of death for the TV show?
Because well, I think the show is doing it to itself. Have you seen it? Now, I watched the first season, and my girlfriend, she's continuing on with the season, and I poked my head in, and I saw some. I saw this Pinocchio character, horrible CG, and I'm just like, oh, man, the show is falling fast.
Well, because it seems to me that about the time that they released the Heroes comic was about the time that that show just went to shit.
But that Heroes just the show fuck that show. I mean, the writers killed that show. I still watch Once Upon a Time. Matt watches Once Upon a Time, and his wife Jess watches it. And we love to have arguments on Monday of what was good in the episode, what was bad. But it's got redeeming qualities. I mean, some episodes are hit or miss, but, I mean, it's getting picked up again. And it does have a huge viewer fan base. So I think this is going to be just more cashing in. It's going to be a supplement for the show. And it's going to be great because this is actually kind of cool. Jess, Matt's wife, bought some comics the other day.
What?
Yeah, she bought some of the Fables comic books because she's read the first, I think, 12, and she started picking up some more. So I think we can convince her to buy this, and it won't cost me anything.
You cheap fuckers. All right, that wraps up news for me. Anybody else have anything else?
Jim, you got anything?
No news happened. No news.
No news happened. What?
No news happened.
Boss?
Oh, I'm sorry, boss. I'm
so sorry. Wow, we let him talk for a little bit, and all of a sudden he gets a fucking ego. So, should we do a little, best on tap, Tony?
I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about. I call it Sasquatch's secret stash, but... Whatever you guys want to call your comic book art thingy.
Well, best on tap this week. We chose the Red Lanterns number 18 cover from DC. And it's drawn by Miguel Sepulveda. And it's kind of like this skullish face pulling out of this other mean-looking face. And it's all red, white, and black. And I've noticed we have a thing for red, white, and black covers. Especially last week, Wolverine Max and
we like the minimalist.
We like simple with detail. So
yeah,
you know, if that makes any sense. But gorgeous cover. Don't know anything about the story because I didn't read it. But the cover was fucking awesome. So
pretty good. I mean, it's I think Rise of the First Lanterns is finally coming around. I was beginning to doubt it for a while because it was shit.
We got
sorry guys.
We got honorable mention.
Oh, honorable mention! I can't believe it, but the world almost ended. Not only did I buy Guardians of the Galaxy, saying I was not going to, but I bought the baby variant.
Oh, it's so cute!
It's awesome. Which, if you haven't seen this. It's got Rocket Raccoon getting scared because he was watering a pot, and Groot is growing out of it.
I could not believe that Derek picked up Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, oh yeah, I sent Tony
that,
a text.
That he would get a baby variant.
Well, I sent Tony a text going, "I bought Guardians of the Galaxy, and I bought the baby variant." And he just sends me a text back and goes, "Both those things you just said sound like lies." But I just love it because he's coming out of here saying, "I am Groot," but like I don't know what Groot's supposed to sound like, but I always think he has this weird accent, like, "I am Groot," you know, like it's some weird Germanish guy, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, should we move on to the Indie Turnpike?
I was going to see Intern Jim. Do you got anything to talk about?
Oh, maybe.
You came unprepared again?
A book I might be working on.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, so I'm working on a book, just a heads up. It's called The Art of Guilt, and it's like a grown-up Archie. little...
You know, and it's funny because I've heard a lot about this. I know that there's ash cans out there. I haven't seen one. Have you seen one of these yet?
No.
Kevin, have you seen one? No. I've heard about them from other people.
They're extremely rare. Don't worry. You know,
did you happen to bring one?
You...
Did you happen to bring any with you today?
Boss.
I'm not going to lie, actually. I haven't even thought about it. An ashtray in forever.
An ashtray?
Yeah. Well,
ashtray.
Oh.
The ashtray version. You can just put your cigarettes out on it whenever you want.
People have an ashtray version just so you can smoke on it. You pee on it. You can do whatever you want
with
that one.
Cross.
What the fuck's an ash can?
Dude, you can cross promote with our friends from An Elegant Weapon, and you can make a rolling papers variant. So
read it and roll it.
You can smoke with it.
So, but yeah, it'll be out April 22nd. You can check out the website. There's really nothing going on at the moment, but
they should actually check out your blog too.
Or my blog too,
which is JimTowe.com. Mm-hmm. Go check it out. Jim's actually also going to be one of the featured guests at Motor City Comic Con. By featured, I mean he'll be there. You know, but
in the corner, off in the back.
Yeah, well, you might have a booth in the men's room, but whatever.
$10 to whoever can actually find me. You know? I highly doubt it'll happen.
Yeah, so.
But his art is pretty good.
No, his art actually is great.
The only reason why we keep him around. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I'd be like, they're all winners, you know. Yeah. But I mean, for the most part, I mean, hell, like I bought original art from you, and I don't do that often. So
yeah, I've seen that massive binder. You
okay? Well, I'll put it this way: I don't normally buy original art from people that like I can't go. I could actually turn around and sell this later if I had to. You're like, yours? Well, not right yet, but
that gym guy, he sucks. Yeah.
5 years from now, when he's like fucking the head writer for like or artist for Superior Spider-Man and kick Stegman out of his
throne.
That's
right, Stegman, I'm coming for you.
So, all right, let's jump back on Indy Turnpike.
All right, Indy Turnpike, for those of you that are our first-time listeners, two things. Number one, Indy Turnpike this week is brought to you by Intercomics. It's inter-comics.com. Go check them out for all your comic book needs. They're an online comic book retailer located in the UK, but it doesn't matter if you don't live in the UK, because those fuckers will ship worldwide. And they got good blogs and good articles and lots of other fun shit on there. So seriously, just go check out the site. And I think you'll be surprised, even in the U.S., that their rates are reasonable. Inter-comics.com. So here's where we talk about indie books, not from the big two. And, you know, we don't normally even get into the licensed stuff, but occasionally we will if it's something important enough. This week, I have Mr. X Hard Candy One Shot from Dark Horse Comics, Kevin.
Nice.
We Dark Horse buddies.
Dark Horse Trio.
Yeah.
We are the three amigos.
So, I know it's not visual, but if you knew it, you saw it in your head. So this is actually a really good follow-up from last week's All Crime Comics that I talked about. And, oh, I'm sorry, by the way, this is written and illustrated by Dean Motter. And, this Mr. X, like I did a little research on it because I'd never come across this before, but it's originally a series of comics that was published from 1983 to 1990 by a number of different companies. Caliber was involved in it. I think Image may have had something to do in there. There's just a number of different people that had their hands in this book. The story itself takes place in Radiant City, which is based on that 1927 German expressionist sci-fi flick Metropolis. You guys familiar with Metropolis? Jim's nodding his head.
Yeah,
Jim,
yeah,
I've heard of it.
Audio podcast.
Isn't that where Superman's from?
Something like that. Yeah, but like it's the poster that shows like the big sky rises in the back, and it's like a robot on the front, you know. But there are tons of elements in this book of Art Deco, futuristic settings, and film noir, and I mean, not just in the art, but as well as in the writing. The basic plot to this book is there is a sole heiress to this pharmaceutical dynasty, and she's been kidnapped, and Mr. X gets hired to find her and bring her home by her grandmother. Her grandmother basically thinks that this chick's a stupid ditz and hopes that if she doesn't at least wise up and mature, maybe she will give birth to somebody who can actually carry on the family name properly. So the grandmother hires Mr. X. Now, the story split up actually into three different parts, with the first part explaining how this company aided in the creation of Radiant City. Basically, they created a drug that helped sharpen the minds as well as give energy to the architects of the city so that they could continue to work long, exhausting hours and make the biggest and best things that they could. Ultimately, that drug became one of the major downfalls because it became a massive recreational drug and people became highly addicted to it. Well, now this company has stopped making this drug because it was only being sold on the black market. So they kidnap this young girl, you know, early 20s, I'm guessing, by the way she's drawn and acts. They kidnap her saying that you will make this drug, that you will start making this drug again, you'll only make it for us. That's the deal. So the part two of this book shows Mr. X hunting down the captors of this girl, and the last part wraps it all up. And I'm actually not going to give away anything more than that, just because of the fact that I'm afraid that with this being a one-shot in particular, if I give it away, there's no reason to read it. And I really want people to go read this book. I mean, it was just...
There's a lot of words.
It's actually... It's a nice, thick book in there. But the one reason I'm really recommending this is that there... Not only is there back issue stuff that you can go track down. I mean, there's compendium. There are, you know, trade paperbacks and stuff like that that you can find. There's a new limited series coming out this May. And so, you know, I'm recommending you go pick this up now, because if you do and you read this, I mean, Jim, I see you actually, like, oogling the art a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. You can tell there's a lot of things, like you were saying, a lot of things influencing this art. And it's a gorgeous book. I actually read this probably almost a year ago. This collects the three stories from Dark Horse Presents.
Okay.
So I read it over 3 months. Of course, 3 months. It was very disjointed. I don't remember the story at all. But every time it came up in that book, even if I didn't know what was going on, I still would just, you know, just oogle over the art. It's really good
stuff. It's gorgeous. I mean, it really is. So, but awesome story, fantastic art on every level. I'm giving two huge mugs up on this book. So definitely recommend, you know, you go out and pick that up. So
I want a new drug.
Yeah,
they got me singing Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah, also roughly from the same time frame as Peter Gabriel.
Sorry, I opened it up and I got some boobies in my face.
Well, it's pinup style. It's not there's no nudity in that.
No.
Opened up to the one page.
It's very, very clean and wholesome, as we have grandma
in bed with well, and it's
with a guy in a dog collar.
Yeah, that's actually a really, really funny part in the book where they're talking about it, because she has her little boy toy, and you know, he ends up not being around in the end. She's like, "Oh, that's okay," because like grandma's like 90 something, and she's like, "He's getting a little long in the tooth for me anyway," because he's like 23. So yeah, Jim. Apparently, you need to go find yourself a grandma here before you start getting a little too old.
Yeah, I'll get on it, boss.
Yeah. Tony, are you drinking today?
Yeah.
Are you reading some books today?
Yes, I got a booze and a book this week. So this pairing is something that I normally wouldn't enjoy, but somehow I did.
Did you get tanked?
Yeah. It's Thunderbolts number 7 paired with a Black Apple. See, me and my brother...
Okay, wait. Thunderbolts number 7.
Yes.
With a Black Apple.
Yeah.
Explain what a Black Apple is.
Black Apple is Guinness with Strongbow kind of layered on in. And the reason why this just works is me and Matt, we said we were going to stop buying Thunderbolts. We could not stand it for the art. It just was not doing it for us. But I accidentally picked it up because I forgot we weren't going to be getting it.
now, is this one of those that was magically in your pull?
No, it wasn't in my pull. I just
Oh, you just grabbed it out of habit?
Yeah, just grabbed it out of habit for buying it. And I'm not one that likes Guinness. I just don't like stouts and dark beers. But there's something with pouring Strongbow into it that makes it a totally unique blend. And that's what we got going with this book. Daniel Way's writing is phenomenal, that it pretty much overcompensates for the art. In fact, it actually, the art this week actually seems to be a little bit better than what it has been. So there's something going for that. So with that, like I said, the pairing is just, it speaks for itself. I hate Guinness. I didn't like the art. I love Strongbow. I love the writing. Those two work somehow. These two work somehow. And I guess we're going to keep buying the book.
So if you paired Guinness with the art, it'd be not good?
Yeah. So if I just drank Guinness
and I didn't read the words, you'd have a horrible experience. Yep.
But if I just read the words and just drank Strongbow,
it'd be awesome.
And when you put them together, they're tolerable. You get the bitter taste of the art out of your mouth.
Nice.
Man, we got to give a shout-out to this beer. This
No. You don't talk about that one yet. It's like Tony stepping on me last week when I tried to do a spoiler. No, that one's coming up at a later date.
Later date?
Yeah, this beer that we're drinking right now, this will be a booze in a book later on.
Ooh, that's a teaser if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, it's a teaser, not a spoiler. So, last call. You guys read anything else good this week? Jim?
Oh, it's me. Okay.
like what I say.
Anyone.
And I look at you. Well, you suck at podcasting.
I'm sorry to disappoint.
Hey, man. Hey, I'm right there with you, man. I win the sucky broadcasting guy of the year award.
Well, God, actually, I want that on a tag. Just a really, really long, spaced out, worded.
It's gonna tag. It's gonna be just a series of dot 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 dot. Wait for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Jim, what's going on?
I got here Young Avengers issue 3 with Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey.
Has that been good?
It's been amazing. There's a hilarious Game of Thrones reference in it. It just continues like building up this first arc. I have to say, this is the one Marvel book on the shelf that is probably a necessity.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the one Marvel book I never even thought about picking up.
Yeah.
Other than Guardians of the Galaxy, which I gotta admit, I really fucking liked the book.
Awesome.
And I had no reason to like this book.
Turned you on to Deadpool, maybe turned you on to Guardians of the Galaxy.
I will admit, you had nothing to do with this. The reason that I did this, my comic book store, because they're awesome, they had a launch party for number one issue of this. Like, they had a Guardians of the Galaxy cake. Like, you know. They had a launch party.
His comic book shop is so much better than ours.
I know. And actually, you know what? I'm just going to give them a shout out. They're not a sponsor, but they're
on the website, though.
They're on our website. It's Fanfare Sports and Entertainment in Kalamazoo, Michigan. If you are anywhere in the Midwest, you should go see them. They're that good. And if you can't make the trip, it's fanfare-se.com. They actually have a ton of original art, like comic book pages, and I've bought a few from them. But I love those guys. Fantastic fucking service. Like I said before, I never even would have picked up East of West if it wasn't for them, and they take fantastic care of me. So thank you guys. That's awesome. But I picked this up because they had a little raffle, and I wanted to support them, but like you get a ticket, free ticket just for going in, but you got an extra ticket if you bought the book, and they...
Dude, you're fucking greedy, and you want to win.
Well, I did want to win, but actually, the stuff that was there, I probably would have given away or sold to Tony. So,
I got a couple shout-outs.
Yeah?
Okay, Aquaman 18.
Actually, I heard a lot of people talking about how good that book was this week.
Actually, you know, the art, it's really good. Oh, yeah, and the story's good, too. So that, and then it wouldn't be a week if I didn't bring up Superman Family Adventures. Number 11 came out this week, and yes, it's awesome.
Are you sure it came out this week, or did...
No, it did. Actually, I'm looking it up on Comixology.
Oh, okay.
To confirm that it came out this week, which I wish I would go to this more often to see what's available, but another reason why our comic books suck my balls up here is because I have no service, no cell phone service in these comic book stores.
Yeah.
Fucking balls. It could also be because I'm on Sprint.
It could also be because they're, like, basements.
Yeah.
But, all right, the answer number 3 of 4 from Dark Horse. So we're going to be Dark Horse buddies again. Astonishing X-Men number 60. Little extermination tie-in for you there, Tone.
Oh, I'll have to read that.
No. I'll rent it to you, though.
Okay.
Deathmatch number 4 from Boom Studios is still fucking awesome. I can't get over how good this book is.
I like the concept of it. Let's make a book about superheroes that were never to just fight each other.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
The character development in this from Paul Jenkins is fucking fantastic. So, yeah, I'm happy with that. Judge Dredd, number 5 from IDW. Dwayne Swierczynski is still doing a really cool job on this.
That's an alternate cover you're
showing us? Yeah, this is actually the retailer incentive cover that I picked up.
The retailer incentive cover?
Yeah. See, my comic book shop is fucking cool, and they put out, like, all the covers. They don't necessarily hold things back. So, now, on certain things like the Marvel and the DC, they do, you know, mark them up because of scarcity, but, like, on things like this, like, fuck it. Just let people have their fun with it. So, Tony, did you have any others in your stack?
Uncanny Avengers was still going strong.
There was a little controversy surrounding that issue, which I don't really feel like bringing up on the air, but if somebody really wants to, they can look it up and find out what the controversy was.
Ooh, I might have to Google that later.
Yeah, Google. Yeah.
Anyone going to give a shout-out to Popeye?
No, I haven't read Popeye since Mars Attacks.
Oh, okay, because I noticed there was a couple of Popeye.
I've actually been meaning to just randomly, like, pick up Popeye. Why not?
I didn't pick it up this week, but I know new Peanuts came out, and the last time I picked up Peanuts, I was really happy with it. It made me feel warm inside.
Really? It makes you happier than the damn fucking comic strips, which be more funny. God damn it.
Do you guys see the little Easter thing of Snoopy sitting on top of his doghouse going, "Man, I love Peeps. They're my favorite. What do you think, Woodstock?" Woodstock? And he's just jamming the Peeps. Deadpool Killustrated, number 3. Still a fun book. Dia de los Muertos, drawn by Riley Rossmo, and written this time by Alexander Grecian, Curtis Wiebe, and Joe Keating.
Does that mean Day of the Dead?
Yes. Yep. That's,
you know, French?
And
Portuguese?
This one was the book that I damn near did for my review, but East to West just barely nudged out. Second best book this week I read, Uncanny X-Force. Fucking phenomenal. If you guys are not reading this title, you're missing out. This is the X-Men book for the X-Men.
Okay,
fan.
Okay, it's good. Jesus,
yeah.
Man.
Meh. I read it. Meh.
Yeah, it's because you're not...
It was good.
You're not really an X-Men fan, poser. You grew up on the animated series. That's how you know
him. It's true. I'm not as old as Derek.
Yeah. So, that's everything I got. Do we have any other shout-outs we need to give this week? Need to give any love to anybody or just fuck them all?
Hey, Mom.
You shut your hole. We'll tell you when you can talk.
What if he told his mom, "You really need to get tuned in. I said hi. Now we're training this." I'm like, shit.
Dude, if your mom listens to this, at least this is one of the cleaner episodes. So,
do you think you could ever get your parents? Your dad's cool, Derek, but do you think you could get your parents to watch or listen? Watch this episode?
My parents have listened to this.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
Dude, I could just see them hanging out in the living room on their lazy boys.
No, it's in the office. They sit at the computer, and they just sit there and listen to it.
I could just imagine my mom. That is such language.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, like,
but
nice. You've drank with me and my dad before.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and my dad's like I was telling him how we got how somebody did not care for all of our cursing. And he's like, "You guys really could cut that back a lot. You do swear a lot on that." And I'm like, "Fuck off." I'm like, "Seriously?" I'm like, I've heard some of the worst things out of my dad's mouth I've heard out of anybody, but, you know, that's why he's, like, one of my best friends.
And that's a little more you know with Derek.
Yeah. All right, so I think that pretty much does it. Jim, thanks for showing up today.
It was a pleasure, boss.
Yeah. Yeah, next time be on time, all right? Which, by the way, you do need to tell our listeners that we don't beat you as much as they think that we do, because, like, people are, like, going, I really like Jim the intern, but you guys were mean to him.
I must tell the listeners, the dungeon does get cold at night.
It's called Uncle Touchy's Naked Puzzle Basement, and you get your ass back down there.
Well, listeners, yeah, Derek, catchphrase.
Yeah, well, say goodbye, Tony.
Goodbye, Tony.
Say goodbye, Kevin.
What you said.
And, well, we don't care about you, Jim. So, oh, go ahead and say goodbye.
Bye, Mom.
All right, guys, on behalf of all of us here at Drunk on Comics, keep reading those comics, and we will be back again next week to talk to you about them then. We'll see ya.
Reading Mr. X, this is all I could think of.
Dude, they can't see your train boner.
Oh, it's just audio.
Woke up this morning with lots of things planned. Under the beach, the girls and the sand. But Dad said, son, you get that yard done. Don't wanna have to say it again. And then he said, boy, before you go, get your ass out there and mow. Use the proper bagging technique. This yard work is so whack, I think I just broke my back. But Dad said that paint's for the weak. Turn the speed to rabbit, cause a turtle just blows, and it'd take an extra hour to mow. I pick up some hose, some green garden hose, cause those plants aren't going to water themselves. Like I didn't know, trimming round the trees while it's 85 degrees, so my dad won't go berserk. I'd take a little break, but it'd be a big mistake, cause Dad would kill me when he gets home from work. Wanna watch those girls instead of whacking weights. Without a doubt, these trees need thinning out. With all this hedge trimming, my head is just spinning. I don't wanna mow, I just let it all grow. But Dad won't settle down until the lawn's done. Until it's done. Until it's done. I'll be your backyard all-star.